Let me recap the basic philosophy of molecular politics, and I've been presenting this on TV. I've made 5 shows so far. I put 1 on the internet. I'm going to put the other 4 on shortly, and I'll be producing 1 a week throughout the summer. And I'm debating, you know, whether to continue it after that. It doesn't get a lot of exposure on community TV, but we'll see how much exposure I get on the internet. But I've got some other ideas as to how to promote it. And, of course, when I publish my book, that will help. But let me recap basically how it works. The principle is this, or the idea is this, is that we have a republic. And in the republic, we elect representatives that are supposed to go to Congress and represent the will of the people. The basic idea of the founders was, you know, if we get together and we represent the most intelligent, the cream of the crop, and they go to Congress, they will actually be able to make more intelligent decisions than the average people, and so we'll have the best possible government. Now, Jefferson was really interested in a majority rule type thing, but it was impractical, and even Jefferson acknowledged that it was impractical because, you know, how in the world are you going to poll or get votes from the majority on issue by issue? It was virtually impossible. And so even the majority rule type people like Jefferson and a handful of others acquiesced to the representative government because that was really the only government that was practical. So it was as close to a participatory government as was possible to create at that time. And what swayed everybody into going with the idea was that we're going to just send the cream of the crop in there. We'll take the most intelligent people that we can find, you know, more intelligent than just the average farmer out there taking care of his kids, but we'll take the cream of the crop. And intelligent people, kind of people that are still hardworking, you know, people that understand the working by the sweat of the brow and all that. But we're going to get the most intelligent people, send them in there, and they're going to make such good decisions that the majority of the people will think, you know, we're represented pretty good by these guys. These guys are pretty smart. They're more informed than we are, and so we're pretty happy. And for the first, you know, when we first started our government, that's a little bit the way the people felt. People felt that, you know, we do have the kind of the cream of the crop in there. A lot of people, some people were always dissatisfied. You never get everybody happy with any government, no matter how good it is. After all, everybody wasn't happy with Jesus. I mean, they were so unhappy with him, they crucified him. So you can't, even if you get the most ideal people in, a certain number of people are going to grumble about it. But what's happened is we've had all kinds of influences creep into our government that have interfered with our representatives representing the people. And I'll just name a few really quick. Number one, when they get in, the party leaders get a hold of them first thing. And they say, hey, we got this bill coming up. You going to vote with the party, or are you going to vote with those stupid guys from the other party? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to make my own decision. Well, you know, if you don't go along, you know, you're not going to get any support for your next election. We'll make sure you don't get finances. We'll make sure you don't get support. So, you know, while you're in here, you got to play the game. You got to learn the rules, how things work here in Washington, D.C. Are you going to vote with, you know, the majority leaders? Or not? Well, I'll see what I can do, you know. So he's got that strong pressure on him. And when he votes with what the party leaders want him to vote, is he representing the people back home? No, he's not representing the people back home. And when this happens, you know, sometimes the people back home are happy with what the majority leaders want, but sometimes they aren't. And so oftentimes people back home feel that they are not being represented properly. Now, there's lots of other ways. I listed 9 altogether, but just name a couple others here. the lobbyists. The lobbyists come in and they'll take the guy and they'll wine and they'll dine him and they'll say, now we've become really good friends, you know, and we bought you this trip to the Caribbean kind of under the table. There's a couple favors we ask of you guys. So the lobbyists make really good friends with these guys. They visit them quite often and they do them favors that are really worth a lot of money, but you can't really pin on to the congressman taking money because it's done in such subtle ways, but they get a lot of benefits from these lobbyists. And so the lobbyists come in and say, you know, we need a favor. We got this bill coming up. We need you to vote for this bill. We need the funding from this bill. So us taxpayers have to supply all this funding, and our congressman goes along with it, and he doesn't hardly hear anything from the folks back home because maybe the folks back home, the bill was so under the table and ill-publicized that the folks back home don't even know about it. They all of a sudden they read in the paper, congressman votes on bill. What? I didn't even know that bill was up for grabs. You know, I never even had a chance to write a letter about it. So is that representing the will of the people? No, not representing the will of the people at all. Nothing like the founders had in mind. Often they'll trade votes. Congressman from Pennsylvania comes to a congressman from Idaho and says, you know, I need this funding to restore Niagara Falls to its original state or something. And the guy from Idaho says, well, yeah, I need this funding to save some salmon in Idaho. I tell you what, I'll vote for your project and you vote for mine. And both of the projects cost a bundle of money. So us taxpayers are spending a bundle of money in Niagara Falls and the salmon in Idaho, and maybe both of them are completely unnecessary, who knows. But both the bills go through because these congressmen traded votes. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Are we being represented? No, we're not being represented at all. Another interesting way that we're not represented is we've talked a lot about thought forms. Another thing, thought forms surface in Congress through what I call Washington group think, which is basically people go to Washington and they tune into a thought form. You ever notice we will often send a guy to Congress and we think, boy, this is a new type of politician. He seemed like a great guy. He acts like he's really going to listen to us. I really like this guy. We send him to Congress, and then about 6 months later, he's just like everybody else. We think, boy, what happened to this guy? Did we misunderstand him? We thought we voted for kind of just a regular guy like us, and now he gets there. He's not like us at all. He's like them. What happened? What happened is this. One of the basic desires of all people is everybody wants to be liked and loved by people that surround them. Now, when the guy goes to Congress, maybe we liked and loved him when we first elected him, but when he's in Washington, he's a long way from us. And who are the people that determine whether or not he's liked and loved? It's not us, but it's people in Washington. And Washington has a certain type of group energy. And there's certain things that they show whether or not you're accepted. Like, do you get invited to the right parties? Do you get favorable notations by the Washington Post, by the New York Times? Do you get favorable comments from the media, from ABC, NBC, MSNBC, all these different news media? Do you get favorable comments from these guys? Do they like you? And so our Congress people get there, and they find out that if they vote according to the will of people, that everybody in Washington just hates their guts. They're like a pariah there. Everybody just can't stand them. And pretty soon, if you're around people that you just feel hate and loathing from for so long, you think, man, I don't like this. So maybe I better rethink maybe I'm a little bit wrong on this. You know, maybe I'm just not seeing correctly. So he begins to tune in to the Washington thought form, which is very much different than anything in flyover country. The flyover country people think totally different than the people in Washington, D.C. Yet once the guy gets submerged in the Washington, D.C. thought form, the flyover people are not even in his consciousness anymore. Who's in his consciousness are the people there that will invite him to parties, that will write about him, that will praise him, and the fellow colleagues also. If he votes contrary to the establishment there, his colleagues won't like him either. Maybe not his own party will like him if he votes according to the will of the people. A CBS poll a few weeks ago had the approval rate of Congress by what? Does anyone guess what it was? No, that CBS is establishment media. It's not fringe.
30-something percent?
No. Go lower.
22.
Lower.
15, I think.
Really?
15. 15%. That makes George Bush look like Mr. Rogers, doesn't it? Or Santa Claus or somebody real popular. So George Bush at his lowest was around 33 or something like that, or somewhere in the 30s. Yet Congress was 15%. But when you're there, you're not thinking of that. You're thinking of, well, you're spending all your time with your colleagues and the people there. What matters to the Congress people when they're there is, well, what do the people I'm working with think about me? And if they don't like it, they're the ones that you get the feedback from more than the folks back home. You may get a few nasty letters, but then you go to work and your colleagues say, you know, how are you going to vote on this bill? Well, I'm going to vote this way. Well, what's your problem? Well, maybe I won't vote that way, you know. So he thinks, I want to be liked by my friends in office, by the media, by those people there. And so he puts up with that 15% rating so that he can be liked. When he goes to work, people will say, hi there, you're a nice guy, you know. Want to go to the party tonight? And whether he goes to the party or not, just the fact that he's invited makes him feel loved and wanted there. So the politician has to be able to overcome this groupthink. So I won't go through all of them, but there's nine of them all together. Nine different powerful influences on our congresspeople that take them away from the will of the people. And what I've determined when I looked at the situation is that even though the will of the majority of the people is far from perfect, it's about 10 times better than what we're getting in Congress now, because they are not following the will of the people, they're following a fringe will. Both parties have been following a fringe will for some time, and the will of the people would be far superior to the will of Congress in its present situation. So by switching over to the people taking charge and expressing their will and forcing our Congress people to follow the will of the people, we can put the nation back on track to healing. After all, the average people, when they understand that they can't live on credit cards. They understand that if somebody gives them an unlimited credit card, they couldn't just go out and spend unlimited money if they have to pay it back. Now, Congress borrows money knowing we have to pay it back, but they act like it's unlimited. They act like, well, that's all right because, you know, we don't have to worry about it the next few months at least, or the next year. So, you know, we'll just go with it. And so, yeah, I used to think that the Democrats hated George Bush so much was because he spent so much money that when the Democrats got in office, they wouldn't have any money to spend. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, they say they hated Bush because of the war and because Bush lied and Bush did all these things and Cheney was Darth Vader. But I really think that the real reason they hated Bush was that Bush spent so much money that they thought there wouldn't be any left for them. But I didn't plan on Obama getting in and having the creative chutzpah to borrow unlimited sums and put us under the tremendous risk he's putting under to spend us more trillions in debt, so much in debt that the interest on our national debt could wind up being our biggest payment one of these first years. So I didn't think they. I thought when they got in office, they'd look at the books and think, "Well, Bush spent so much money, there's no money left." Well, boy, was I wrong. they found all kinds of money to spend.
All income tax goes to the national debt; doesn't go for any government services. Doesn't cover it, so they borrow more money just to pay the interest on the debt. So it's impossible to ever pay the debt off, being in that situation.
Yeah, but the only way we're going to pay the debt off is through inflation, and pay it off with inflationary dollars. Is about the only way we're going to be able to do it, and that might be a way out. Hopefully.
Where is the government borrowing money from China?
China. Japan,
we're borrowing money from everybody we can, including printing up new money. So anyway, my basic idea is this, is we produce co-legislators. A co-legislator is somebody that signs up under a politician to legislate with a politician. Now, to be able to have a co-legislator, we need a politician to cooperate. So we create an organization that finds people to run for office that is willing to cooperate with us. So let's say we trust old Blaine over there, so we approach him and say, "Blaine, if we put you in office as a senator or representative, are you willing to make a commitment that you will vote according to the will of your co-legislators?" And if Blaine said, "No, I can't handle that, I have to vote according to my principles," we can say, "Okay, well, we'll move on to somebody else. Larry, are you willing to do this?" Larry says, "No, I'm not willing to do it." Also, if we approach him, he says, "No, I'm not a citizen, sorry, but I would be happy to do it." Wren, we approach Wren, and he says, "Yeah, I'll do it, what the heck. Pays good, pays better than being a bus driver." So, are you still a bus driver? Okay, he says his pace is being better than the bus driver. Heck, I'll do it, what the heck. And so Wren agrees to do it. Now we approach him again. Now you understand it. You're going to have co-legislators, and if you have like 10,000 and 6,000 of them say you vote yes on a bill, it doesn't matter whether you believe in the bill or not, you have to vote yes. Are you willing to do that on every issue? What?
No.
No? Okay, well, we move on to somebody else. And so we find somebody that says yes. Yes, I'm willing to vote on every issue according to the will of the people. It doesn't matter.
Could these be like spiritually advanced, or could they be?
No,
like
it doesn't matter.
Color?
We don't look at spiritually advanced. We don't look at smartness, we just look at honesty. The person willing to give his word and follow through on his word.
So why should it be a human being? He can be a machine.
No, machine can't do it. Because once he gets in, he has to be a teacher. Okay? He has to teach his constituents. Okay, that's his job. His job is to be a manager. His job is not to be a power broker once he gets in. But anyway, we find somebody that says yes. Somebody, you know, reasonably intelligent that says yes. And once he gets in, we tell him his job description. The job description that our congressmen think they have now is to spend our money and find ways to tax us more so they can have more money to spend. That's what they think their job description is. We have to change their job description. We tell the guy, okay, your job description is not to spend money, not to tax us, but to get in and vote according to the will of the people, no matter what happens, no matter which lobbyist comes and tries to twist your arm, no matter which party leader tries to twist your arm, no matter who invites you to parties, no matter what media people write about you, you vote according to the will of the people. Are you willing to do that?
I'd be willing.
Yes.
To do that.
What?
I'd be willing to do that.
You'd be willing to do it now? Okay.
Especially.
Okay.
Well, what if the will of the people is wrong?
Then you
still got to do
educate
it.
Educate the people.
Right. So that's what you do. So he becomes, we tell him your new job description is a teacher and a manager. Those are two important jobs. Every business person, his job isn't to spend money. and to take money from the employees. His job is to manage and to teach and to educate. That's what people do in business. So we want you to do in Congress what every good businessman does in business. Teach, educate the people, and manage them. Okay, so he gets in. When a bill comes up, you read it over, figure out if you like it or not. And if you think your co-legislators are not going to favor it, but you do favor it, well, maybe you see something that they don't see. So your job is to educate them. So say this bill is coming up on the spending project where we're going to have to fork out $1 billion on something, and you think it's worth it, but you're afraid your co-legislators will vote no. So your job is then to educate them. So on the internet, you present this bill, and you say, now here's the 10 reasons why I think you, my co-legislators, should support me voting for this bill. So he educates them. And if he makes sense, anytime you make sense to the average people, the majority will usually vote correctly. Majority almost always see correctly once the pure facts are out there for them to see. It's only when they're deceived, when you get a tyrant in control, the first thing he does is take charge of the press. So the information, wrong information, is filtered down to the people, and that way they can be controlled. They can only be controlled when they don't receive correct information. But when people receive correct information, they will almost always vote in a common sense way. So if he's a good educator, and if the bill is important, if the $1 billion is important to spend, he will be able to convince his co-legislators. Now, it could be he's wrong, but so he calls for a vote, and whatever his co-legislators say, if they say yes, then he votes yes. If they say no, he votes no. But he has his chance to sway them. He has to try to talk them into it if he really believes in voting yes or no on a certain bill. So he manages, he filters information, he writes up his proposal, why a bill is good or bad, and he tries to influence his co-legislators properly. But the common sense people, once they get the facts out there, if their representative's trying to pull a wool over their eyes and just going along with party leaders or lobbyists or somebody like that or large corporations, the average people is going to smell the coffee, and they're going to vote normally, a common sense way. The Book of Mormon makes a real interesting statement around this. It says that the majority of the people will generally pick the right path. It says, but if the time ever comes that the majority of the people select the wrong path, he says, then they are nigh unto destruction. In other words, the only time that the majority of the people, on the average, will pick the wrong path will be when they're nigh unto destruction, when they're ready to be, when destruction is imminent. In other words, the people themselves are so corrupt that the best thing that can happen to them is to be destroyed and start over again. And that happens with many civilizations. If a civilization becomes entirely corrupt, then it's possible that the majority of the people will be corrupt too. But if the majority of the people is corrupt, then our representatives will even be more corrupt. But we're at the point right now to where the majority of the people still have some common sense. If we let this continue long enough, the majority of the people will even be lost. So the turnaround has to happen within a generation, or the majority could be lost. So anyway, I'm trying to present this idea. I've made these TV shows, and I got my book coming out soon. And another idea I had, I've been mulling over starting a local group and exactly how to do it. Kind of the idea came to me is to kind of do it by the party plan, the way Curtis used to sell pots and pans. You ever go to one of those pots and pans meetings? He used to be a champion salesman, pots and pans, and had these meetings where he cooks everybody a meal in this waterless cookware, and it tasted so good that, you know, usually sold a couple of sets, you know, and then somebody who bought them would hold another party. Well, we could do, that's one idea I was thinking of doing this on the party plan. Find somebody interested in this idea. He holds a party, and I go speak at it, And we have maybe 20 couples there, or 20, 40 people or whatever, and then somebody else who's enthused holds another party, and we keep that going, and then I duplicate myself, find other people capable of, you know, motivating people, and then spread this. Now, you guys, anyone that wants to take up the banner in their local area can do the same thing. Watch, read everything I've written on it, and then promote it. But anyway, that was one idea that I had in mind. Another idea is just to start holding meetings and invite people to it and see if it grows. And once we get, you know, a handful of really good local people, then we can start looking for a politician to commit himself and then start raising funds to finance a molecular politician's election. And once one person gets in that's committed to the molecular politics, just one person, it's going to get national media attention. People are going to say, is this the new type of politics or something like this? I can just see the headline now. And once people get a gist that they can take charge and make their will felt on Congress, then I believe there's going to be a revolution in this country that a lot of people will rise up that's never done anything, never even marched in a tea party, and they will want to take charge and set this government in order. So the first thing, and the most pressing thing, is this overspending, because almost everybody realizes, even the most liberal person, well, maybe not the most liberal, but many liberal people understand that you can't overspend forever. Sooner or later, we got to tighten the reins. If we as a family cannot live unlimitedly on credit cards and then get more credit cards and then get more credit cards, we can't do that forever. Well, our government can't do it forever either. Remember what happened to the Weimar Republic in Germany. They used to take a wheelbarrow of money to the grocery store just to buy a loaf of bread. And when they got paid, they had to go shopping immediately after they got paid, because if they waited a few hours, their money would be worth less. That's how the inflation got so bad in Germany that their money was devalued daily. I think the last bills they had was worth like a trillion marks or something like that. They had the largest bill ever printed in history.
Zimbabwe has, I don't know if it's trillion, but I know they have billion-dollar bills.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Nobody will take them, though. Nobody anywhere will take them. So.
I was telling Sharon last night that I heard on ABC News, Diane Sawyer, that they're not allowing Obama, for instance, he wanted $60 million or $1 billion for teachers.
Believe me, it's not million. It's always at least billion.
Or trillion, whatever.
It's billion or trillion when Obama
speaks. But he wanted 60-something billion dollars for teachers around the country, and they turned it down.
Yeah. I think the only money the government should give help with is unemployment.
They didn't extend it.
They didn't? Well, I feel sorry for the people then. That's one thing that is helping people is unemployment insurance. But a lot of this stuff, you know, just insisting that all government employees not sacrifice at all, whereas people getting unemployment and halfway starving to death do have to sacrifice, that's silly, you know. What we all want is the will of everybody. It doesn't matter what party. So if it doesn't matter if a Republican or a Democrat gets in. If a Democrat gets in and he commits to it, then if it's some type of Republican proposal and the co-legislators vote yes, he has to vote yes. As if a Republican gets in and a Democratic proposal comes forth, the co-legislators vote for it, then he has to vote for it. So,
My question really is, if a group, if this was created, a system, a website, whatever, where the co-legislators for a specific, I guess, geographic area that were registered voters in that area could voice their will or vote on issues, I guess, in the system, what would prevent polarization from happening, which tends to happen in any environment, to where maybe mostly Republicans go into the system, and then the Democrats say, that's the Republican system, that's Fox News. We're going to go and make our own CNN.
Well, if they wouldn't be, it wouldn't be like it, though. If they made their own where only Democrats could vote in it, that's not the will of the people. It has to be both parties involved. And maybe one party will be more enthused than another because one party maybe represents the will of the people more than the other party. Now, both parties think that they're the ones that represent the will of the people. So if this is implemented, well, we'll find out which party is right, which party really does represent the will of the people. Yeah, Blaine.
One of the concerns that I have is about 95 to 98% of everything that Congress votes on is completely outside their scope that's laid out in the Constitution. And so how, and maybe you address this, I don't know, how do you... What I want to see is what's voted on limited, and that was one of the original main intentions of a republic in the Constitution was to limit what the government.
So you're saying a lot of the bills are unconstitutional?
Well, yeah, but to go further than that, you know, like Congress, in my opinion, doesn't have any right to vote on a bill that tells me I got to wear a seatbelt, or what kind of health care I got to buy, or what kind of plant I grow in my backyard.
Well, we can tackle that next. See, we have to do one step at a time.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't know if you address that or not.
Right, and once we're successful in one step, then we can say, well, what can we do next? And then we'll have a lot more power for the next step once we implement a successful first step.
But
the first step, if we can do nothing but get the spending down, that will be a tremendous accomplishment, because that's one thing the average people understand is we need to limit our spending. We can't overspend for. If we can just do that and nothing else, then we can survive as a country economically at least, and then we can take a second breath and say, well, what can we work on next? But you know, there's lots of other things too. But in my mind, the economy is super important.
Saying that the representative works with these co-legislators,
mm-hmm.
which are the people.
Right.
So why should it be connected to any party?
It's not. However, everybody's connected to a party now. Eventually, the parties would be meaningless if this took off. Because it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. But initially, they would be Democrat or Republican because that's what we're used to.
It doesn't matter now. So what the hell?
Yeah, it doesn't matter a lot now. Parties overspend. Both parties want to spend and tax.
Two sides of the same.
So another challenge is: are the people ready for that to have the power to transfer directly?
I think they are, because this shakeup right now of all overspending, the people are beginning to realize we have to do something. You know, that's why the Tea Parties have really taken off, because people are realizing, hey, something's got to happen. We got to stop this overspending.
The masses are so easily swayed by, all these people voted for Obama, and you know, the masses are just so easily.
They're only easily swayed when they're not educated. You take the people that are easily swayed, they're people controlled by sound bites. The people are easily swayed, people get their information from comedians and MTV. But they don't. You talk to them. What?
That's a lot of people.
Right. You talk to people like that, and you ask them a few questions. They don't know anything, but they need to be educated. And see, that's what our organization will do. We will educate. We'll eventually put ads on TV. We will say, now so and so says this. Here's the truth. And we will have a Here's the Truth series or whatever to educate the people. Now the trouble is, there's a handful of people that are pretty smart. And through the media, they tell us some good things, but everybody's preaching to their own choirs. We need to preach to everybody. We need to run ads that reach everybody, and that's the only way to do it. Because everybody has their own niche, from talk radio to the various media to MSNBC to Fox. Everybody has their niche, and everybody's preaching to their own choirs and not influencing strongly outside of their circle. But we need to take the truth and put it on ads that will reach everybody, either ads on the internet or the media, whatever works, experiment with them. And it's going to take money and fundraising, but we can do it. And by reaching everybody, once the people are educated, then the majority will have common sense. And where does the word common sense from? Common sense is sense that is common to the majority of the people. That's why it's called common sense, because it's common to the majority. The majority have common sense if they are properly informed. And the trouble is, the media and the politicians have controlled the people so much that all they know is the sound bites. And we have maybe 20% of the people that are well-informed, 80% controlled by sound bites. That needs to be reversed. 80% well-informed, and we don't care what happens to the 20. I think through the internet and through the media, and we can, you know, once the vast majority feels empowered, because right now they feel powerless. They say, you talk to people, they say, oh, it doesn't matter who gets in office. It doesn't matter. I'm not even voting anymore because it doesn't really matter. Now, here's another idea I had. We make a DVD, an educational DVD, given the hardcore facts on different projects and bills and political statements. And then we make millions of copies. And then we have our organization. We don't even have to go to the expense of mailing it, because we assign different people in our organization, different parts of the town, and they go deliver it. Knock on the doors and deliver the DVDs, or put them through the mailbox or whatever.
Put it on YouTube.
And... yeah, we put on YouTube, but if we actually delivered the DVDs to every person living in Boise, can you imagine the effect? Man, the media would be, wow, could you imagine how the major media would come down on that and try to demonize it? And then the people who didn't watch it say, boy, if it's that evil, I got to see it. You know, they'd plug it in. What is this thing? From the devil himself? I got to watch this, man. This would be cool.
The problem with that is the people won't watch it. We've tried that.
Yeah.
You need. Here's the thing.
But people come. Well, some would and some wouldn't. We'll experiment with a lot of things. I think the DVD would have power, but also the direct advertisement. So they're watching 24 or whatever, or Desperate Housewives, and all of a sudden comes on. There's our 1 minute ad. Say, now you've heard this. Here's the truth. Here's the real truth.
The first principle to get into people's minds would just be the concept of the will of the people, I would think.
Yeah, right. That's an important concept. If we get that, say, now, you've heard that you're powerless, you're not. There's something you can do, and here's what it is. Once we get some grassroots organizations going, then, you know, we'll start contacting business people for donations, and we'll maybe create a local publication, sell ads in it. And there's a lot of business people would buy ads in a publication that would help, you know, pay for itself because of the advertising, and also finance their political thinking.
So why wouldn't this start at a very local level and start with the mayor experiment, you know, so to speak?
It's not big enough. I mean, it needs to start with the representative on national level. It's not big enough to get people excited. But it has to start with representatives and senators.
So this would be a...
unless you're talking about the mayor of New York or somebody like that. But mayor of Boise isn't enough to get anybody excited.
Boise has a mayor?
Yeah, right. But the state representatives aren't enough to get excited. But once we get it done with the permeates in the national level, then it'll filter down to the local levels. You know. But we got to start. The first person we'll do it with will probably be a representative somewhere. Maybe Idaho. Idaho is the most conservative state in the United States, they say.
Except Boise.
Yeah, Boise's pretty liberal. Like I said the other day, or yesterday, remember, you tune into the will of God, it's going to happen whether you do it or somebody else does it. You know, this is the future. It will be done. I would like to be a part of it, but if I'm not, other people are going to step in and do it. It will be done. There's a lot of people with quite a bit of money that would support this concept if they feel it could put the nation on a good, sound financial footing. Because every business in the country has a vested interest in getting the nation on sound financial footing, because if we collapse, every nation, every business in the country is going to be hurt.
Thanks for listening to the New Age Christian Synthesis podcast. If what you heard rang true for you, or you're interested in finding out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com.